All right, if you can, would you turn with me to Jonah chapter 4? The message will be coming from Jonah chapter 4, verses 5 through 11. Jonah chapter 4, verses 5 through 11. When you have it, can you say amen? All right. Jonah went out and sat at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord provided a vine and made it grow over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was happy about the vine. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm, which chewed the vine so that it withered. When the sun arose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Do you have a right to be angry about the vine?" "I do," he said. "I'm angry enough to die." But Jonah said, "You have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprung up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city?" Let us pray. Father in heaven, again, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your faithfulness and through our lives. And Father, we pray as we come before your word this morning, Father, that you would humble our hearts, that we might hear from you. And Father, we pray, Lord, that you would indeed do a work in our lives, that we might be representatives of your grace and your mercy into this world in which we live in. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you. Amen. All right, so one of the things I would want to do, it would be my desire to do, is to actually do a whole recap of Jonah, but I won't do that. I won't bore you with a full entire recap. And so let's actually just go ahead and jump right into the text. Some people are probably familiar with Jonah. For those who are not, I believe the book of Jonah has much that it teaches us. It's not just a book about a man who was swallowed by a fish and later eventually he was spit out and that's it. You know, oftentimes the story of Jonah is told in kind of that fashion. If you went to church as a young child, the story of Jonah probably is that's all we really know about Jonah. But I believe there's more to Jonah, and I believe the text today is actually something, is actually the core text of our passage today in the book of Jonah. And so if we would be willing and allow the Lord to speak to our hearts about through this text today, I believe it can actually do a significant and transformational work in our lives. And so I just pray this morning that you would be open, that you would be receptive to what it is that God would have for you this morning through his word. And so kind of the first thing, statement I would probably propose is when we fail to know the heart of the Father, we will always be upset at his ways. I repeat that. When we fail to know the heart of the Father, we would always get upset at his ways. And so one of the biggest things about the book of Jonah, as you begin to journey through it, is that you would realize that one of the things that God is after more than anything is after Jonah's heart. He's after the heart of Jonah. And understand that Jonah is not just a representation of Jonah himself, but he's actually a representation of Israel, the people of God. The people of God who are supposed to make God's name known rightly throughout the world. The people of God in and through whom the blessings of God will continue to flow onto everyone throughout the whole entire world. And so understand that one of the things is that God is trying to do in and through Jonah's life is actually begin to transform Jonah's heart, that Jonah's heart might be after God's own heart. But if we realize that one of the things that we see is that Jonah's heart is different. It's contrary to the heart of God. God desires to show mercy. God desires to show grace, to show forgiveness to a people whom Jonah refused to show grace and mercy to. And so at the beginning of the book, one of the things that God is calling Jonah to do is go preach to the people of Nineveh. And Jonah flees from the calling of God upon his life because he knew that God was a gracious and merciful God. And Jonah himself said, and it says, that was the reason why I fled in the first place. That was the reason why I chose not to go, is because I knew you were a gracious and merciful God. It seems kind of crazy to us, or it would be crazy, that if Jonah really knew that God was gracious and merciful and loving and would forgive people and call them out of their sin, call them out of doing wrong, that it would be easy for Jonah to just take the next step and go. But Jonah had an issue. He had an issue not just with God, but he had an issue with the people of Nineveh. Because we have to understand, too, that the people of Nineveh were enemies to the people of Israel. And so the question becomes, what do you do when God sends you to those in whom you do not like? When he sends you to those in whom you feel or believe does not deserve your love, does not deserve your time, does not deserve your effort, what do you do in that moment when God sends you to such people as them? And so Jonah is having to wrestle with this calling upon his life. And even when he's in the belly of the fish, he's still wrestling with this call. Although he's pleading and he's begging God to save his life, there's still a wrestling with this call upon his life. And we know the story. God saves Jonah. And then once Jonah is saved, he's delivered. God speaks to the fish and spits the fish. The fish spits Jonah's out. And Jonah actually begins, and he actually goes to Nineveh this time. And so he's obedient. But as he's obedient, as he preaches what God tells him to preach and says, 40 days Nineveh shall be overturned, he goes and he preaches this message. And the message actually is effective. Is actually effective, because what happens is, after he tells them to repent in 40 days, the whole entire city, including even the animals, turn from, quote unquote, their wicked ways. From the king all the way down to the animals, everyone begins to change, begins to allow their hearts to be transformed, and it begins to see what it is that God really is desiring to do in and through them. And one of the things that you notice is everyone's heart throughout the story seems to be changing, but one person. You would expect that the one whom God is calling, heart will change and begins to transform and allow God to use that particular person. But Jonah's heart is not changing. It seems as if he's repented, but there's still this hardness of Jonah's heart of what it is that God wants to do in and through this people of Nineveh. And he has an issue with it. I mean, you can just only imagine if Jonah was quote unquote an American, and how patriotic Jonah would be. That anything outside of America, Jonah would not stand for. He would not want that God would extend love and mercy and grace to anyone else beyond his own quote unquote border. But God is saying, no, I'm not just the God of the Israel, but I'm also the God of all people, all nations, regardless of your nationality, regardless of your status in the world, I am the God of all. And Jonah is having to, in essence, activate his humility and understand that God is not just his God. And I want to stop there for a moment. Not just his God. Because Jonah has an intellect of who God is. Have you noticed? He has an understanding of who God is. He understands God to be gracious. He understands God to be merciful. He understands God to be loving. But has that knowing transformed his life? It's one thing to know something, but then there's another thing to allow that which you know to actually transform and renew your life. So I know God to be gracious because I've seen God be gracious and merciful in my own life, Jonah. But yet, when I see God being gracious and merciful to someone else, then that doesn't make sense to me. Why do we want God to be God to us, this loving and merciful God? But then we want him to be somehow a different God to someone else. And it's upsetting. And as we see, it angered Jonah to the point where Jonah refuses to celebrate, where Jonah refuses to worship, he refused to even enter into the city. As you all can see, he goes to the east of the city and he sits down and he's waiting to see what will become of that city. Remind you of any story? We talked about this some last week, but it reminds me really of the story of the prodigal sons, not the son, but the prodigal sons, where you have one son who goes off, spends his livelihood, becomes repentant, comes back to the father. The father is waiting for him with open arms and brings him back. Notice, he runs away, but then he comes back. He comes back changed. He comes back repentant, and the father welcomes him. But then you have, on the opposite side, you have the older son, the older brother, who's outside, who refuses to go into the house and celebrate over his lost brother, who has just been, in essence, found, and he refuses to go into the house and worship with the father and with the family. Which brother does Jonah look like? He looks just like the one on the outside. The one who refuses to worship, the one who refuses to praise and thank God for what God has done, because he said, how can you be merciful and gracious to a person who's been that sinful? I mean, what would you say if God was gracious and merciful to someone in your life whom you perceive does not deserve the grace and mercy of God? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Because I believe if we humble ourselves, we would realize that God did the same thing for us. Because regardless of all the good that we do, yet we still deserve, we still need the grace of God daily. I don't care how many times we go to church on Sunday, how many songs we sing, how many offerings we give, we still need the grace of God just as much as the woman or the man that chooses not to come inside the church. The same grace that is extended to us is the same grace that is extended to them. And as oftentimes it's tough, it's hard when other people we perceive should not deserve God's love and his grace. But God says, it is not my desire. It's not God's desire that anyone, man or woman, to perish. It's not his desire. And if our desire is aligned with God's desire, then that becomes our desire. That no one shall perish. Everyone shall be a recipient of God's grace and his mercy. And oftentimes that grace and that mercy actually comes through us. And God desires to use us as his messengers, as his ambassadors in and through the world in which we live in. And so as you extend that grace and mercy to others, other people see your good deeds. And what does scripture say? They glorify, they praise your God because of what you have done, what God has done in and through you. So as you are being loving and kind and gracious, other people see that and they say, not just there's something about that person, but there's something about the God in which they serve. And God is trying to use Jonah, but Jonah is refusing to be used. And so Jonah is sitting outside of the city And as we know, when he's looking, hopefully, maybe that destruction would eventually fall upon this city. I mean, he's kind of like a kid, if you will. I mean, parents, have you ever seen your kid or another kid catch a tantrum when they don't get what they want, when they want it, how they want it? And then somehow they shout, they scream, they sit in the corner, and they hopefully that you would come and join them in their little pity party. And then you as the parent are trying to say, what? Get up. And it's amazing because God is not, God is not belittling Jonah when he goes to Jonah. He doesn't diminish Jonah. He doesn't make Jonah seem as if he's less than. But he even goes to Jonah in grace and in truth. Please don't miss that part. Because as the Son of Man came, as Jesus came into this world, he did not just come in truth. Oftentimes, we want to tell people the truth. We want to tell them something about themselves. I know what you did. You did wrong, and I'm just going to tell you that. But we forget that Jesus came in both grace and truth. And he desires that we come also in grace and truth. There's nothing wrong with saying the truth. There's nothing wrong with telling someone what they have done. But with truth alone, there's no hope in that. What if God would just come to us and just tell us all the wrong that we have done? All the wrong that we are doing. And we don't sense any hope in that. We don't sense any hope that there's a possibility that we can actually begin, there's actually any change that can be made. And so Jonah goes out, he actually builds this hut, maybe a fort like kids, but he actually builds this hut, and it's amazing that even in the midst of him building this hut, God still sees Jonah's needs. And he provides for Jonah. In the midst of Jonah being angry and upset with him, he still provides for his needs. Isn't that fascinating? What is our response? What is our tendency when someone makes us angry? Is our typical response to be loving to that person? No, thank you for being honest. No, our response is not to be loving. It's not to be gracious. It's actually to say, wait a minute, you hurt me, then I hurt you. I grew up in a family of 13. I'm the youngest of 13, six brothers, six sisters. And I grew up with some rough brothers. And one of the things that you learned is if someone hits you, you hit them back. And that's the way you're trained. That's the way I was programmed. But then now there's a whole new way of living that says, wait a minute, forgive those who've hurt you. Ooh, that's tough. That's tough. It's difficult when somebody hurts you, when somebody has wronged you, when somebody has wronged someone you loved, and then now you're called to forgive and love that person. And I'm sure you all have many stories. I have stories I can tell. But I think that's really what God is after. In terms of Jonah's heart, Jonah has been hurt. He's been hurt by the people of Nineveh. He knows what the people of Nineveh have done to his people. And God says, I'm still the God of that people, of those people. I'm still their God. Ooh. That's tough. How can you still be loving and gracious to someone who has wronged you? And God says, because I am. I am. I'll forever be a God who is merciful and loving. But also, we can't forget that he's also a God who does not allow sins or iniquity to go unpunished as well. But Jonah really wants to see that God. He really wants to see the sins of Nineveh not go unpunished. And so Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. He was happy. Thank you, Lord. You finally heard my cry. You finally has answered at least one of my prayers. He's glad about this plant. He's glad about this vine that has given him shelter, that has given him provision from his discomfort. Why is Jonah glad about something that has benefited him, but he's upset and angry about something that has benefited someone else? He's okay when God sends salvation or when God saves him, but yet when God saves and delivers someone else, then he's upset. Do you rejoice when God rejoices over the lost being found? Or are you like Jonah, upset and angry when God begins to do a work in and through someone's life that, again, we might feel they don't deserve it? And he's upset. And God appoints a worm. And that worm that he appoints attacked the plant, and so the plant withered. And when the sun arose, God also appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. Wow. Does Jonah seem to be grateful to you all? When things are going well in one's life, they celebrate, they yell, they holler, they worship, they want everyone to know. But then what about when things don't go as well? Don't go according to our plans? Do we worship? Do we shout? Do we holler? This Jonah kind of, truthfully, he reminds me of myself. As long as God is doing what I want God to do, oh, I'm happy. As long as God is answering my prayers according to how I want him to answer, oh, I'm happy. But as soon as God begins to remove things from my life, that which I thought should be in my life forever, then I become upset and angry and furious. And it begins to seem as if God doesn't know what God is doing. It's as if Jonah is saying to God, do you know what you're doing? Have you ever said anything or prayed something similar or had some similar thought that God doesn't know what God is doing? So guess what? I'm going to actually take the initiative. I'm going to take matters into my own hands, and I'm going to do it because God apparently doesn't know what he's doing. It's fascinating that God continues to send messages after messages after messages. Messages of what? Messages of who he is. Messages of his grace and his mercy to a one that really doesn't deserve it. And yet Jonah is still saying, I don't care as long as Nineveh is destroyed. Can you imagine if you all were in Nineveh? How would you feel? Knowing that someone is really so wholeheartedly want your destruction. How would you feel? Jonah doesn't care. He doesn't care about the little children that's there. I mean, really begin to think, not just at the surface of the text, but begin to think about all of the lives that could be lost if it goes Jonah's way. Let me take a step back. What would happen if God answers all of your prayers?
We wouldn't need God.
We wouldn't need God. And then all, and I think it even to take, you know, a step and say, we wouldn't have anything, because I believe there would be total destruction eventually if God somehow answers all of our prayers. Because as soon as someone upsets us, I guaranteed you that person would no longer exist. As soon as somebody does anything wrong to us, our tendency is not to say, oh, I'm gonna give you grace, I'm gonna be merciful to you. But it's to say, Lord, take vengeance on my enemy and get rid of him. And so, I'm grateful that God has not answered Jonah's prayers. Because had God answered Jonah's prayers, that grace and mercy would not have been extended to us. Because guess what? If we really put ourselves into the story, whether you allow yourself to say, hey, yes, I am like Jonah, or you would say, you know what? I would probably be a part of the people like Nineveh. But yet God chose to show his grace and his mercy in my life, just the way he showed the people of Nineveh, who did not deserve it. And just like the story of the older son and the younger son, neither one deserved God's grace. Even the son that chose to stay, the older son that chose to stay near the father, he did everything, quote unquote, what the father asked for him to do. He still did not deserve the grace and the mercy of God. And I always think about that story. And I think about this one thing, because it really began to speak into my life. And it says that, you know, oftentimes you can be so close to the church that you're actually far from God. I'll say that again, because you can be so close to the church that you're actually far away from God. And God is saying, you know what? I really want your heart. I want your heart to be transformed. I want your heart to be renewed. Because guess what? We cannot be like Jesus if we don't have the heart of Jesus. When King David found out that he was disobedient and sinful towards God, the one thing that I love that he prayed is he prayed that, Lord, create in me a clean heart. He asked God to transform his heart, not to somehow clean up the situation, but transform in me a clean heart. And renew a right spirit within me, that I may live according to how you would want me to live. That I may live and conduct myself in a manner that is worthy to you. Not to man, but to you. And that is God's desire, to do a transformational work in all of our lives. We want to do, we basically throw it up. We rather want to quit and say, Lord, it is better that I die than I actually live. It is better for me to die than to live, than me to even see God begin to show mercy into someone's life that I refuse to allow them that I refuse to think that they need to be shown mercy to. But let's go on. We're almost there. And he said, yes, I do well to be angry, even enough to die. And the Lord said to him, you pity the plant, for you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city in which there is more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left hand, and also much cattle? And God has said, should I not be concerned? What is Jonah concerned about? Himself. That, when it boils down to it, he's concerned about himself. He's concerned about the self. And I wonder how oftentimes are we concerned about the self. It makes it seem as if we're concerned about the other, but the concern is really about himself. He's concerned about a plant. that he did not labor, nor did he even give the ability to make it grow. And that's his concern. When there's 120,000 people that is about to perish, and his concern is about one single plant, seems selfish to me. And it makes me wonder, what is my concern? What is my concern? Am I concerned with that which, what is it that in my life is perishing that I'm concerned with? What is it that in my life that is perishing that I'm actually concerned with? Because what if that is which was perishing in my life is actually God's grace and his mercy? To show me, to allow me to really wholeheartedly depend on him. It wasn't for Jonah to begin to depend on the plant. It wasn't for Jonah to somehow put his allegiance into the plant. But his hope, his trust, and his dependency is on God, not on a plant. There's things that God brings into our lives that are blessings. And our messages of who he is, of his love for us. But if we attach ourselves to those things too much, and once God removes them, then we become angry. What if God chooses to open the door and choose to close it? Are we going to be angry at God for opening the door and closing the door? And I think sometimes, like Jonah, I myself included, oftentimes when there's things in my life, I begin to think that it's somehow I caused those things to be. That I caused that to be. That relationship, somehow I caused that to be. And so when that relationship broke and didn't work out, oh, I'm upset at God. Because God, why would you even bring something into my life and then take it away from me? That job. The company, it failed. Ends didn't work out how they were supposed to work out. So God, why would you even bring that into my life and then somehow take it from me? It wasn't the relationship. It wasn't the job. It wasn't this or that. But it was to really show you that guess what? I know your every need. I know your situations. I know your circumstance. And sometimes in life, it doesn't seem as if God knows what we're going through. Jonah didn't have to pray to God to send that plant. But God saw Jonah's need, and he provided for Jonah. And let me go ahead and fast forward, because ultimately, what the story really hits on and what the story really gets to is that a lot of times in life, and the people in Jonah's time, they didn't even realize they actually needed a savior. They didn't realize they needed a savior. They were so far removed. They were so far removed from God and who God was that they didn't even recognize they needed someone to rescue and deliver them from the situation that they're in. And I believe oftentimes we can get so deep, quote unquote sin, or whatever the mess in which we were in, that we didn't even realize that we needed a savior. And guess what? In the midst of us doing what we wanted to do, God was already preparing a savior. God was already preparing an answer. God was already preparing our deliverance. And while we were yet sinners, oh, I love that passage. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He heard our cries. Not just of the people, but of all creation. He was even concerned with the animals in Nineveh, but of all creation. And all creation has continued into, it's been groaning since the fall. And God has continued to be concerned with his people. And so I pray that you would have the hope. I pray that you would continue to be encouraged that God knows. And he sees, and he's going to do something on behalf of your situation. We don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know how he's going to do it, but I have hope, and I hope that you have the hope that the Lord is actually going to intercede on your behalf. It might not be a storm. It might not be a plant. But it might be some other message that God might continue to send into your life, that you might be attentive to his voice. And hopefully realize that, guess what? I am your God, just like I am their God as well. And one of the things, too, that Jesus even says in the New Testament is, someone here is greater than Jonah. Someone here is greater than Jonah. Where Jonah failed, Jesus Christ actually fulfilled. Where Jonah failed to represent the heart, the compassion, the love of God, Jesus fulfilled, that we might see him and we might be able to know that is what the heart of God looks like. When his enemies came against him, even as he hung on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them for what they know not what they do. God is concerned. He knows. He knows that Nineveh does not know their left hand from their right hand. Jesus prays from the cross and says, Father, they don't even know what they're doing. And so, Lord, I don't pray vengeance on them. I don't pray that they also be crucified to a cross. But, Lord, I pray that you would be merciful to them. Even those who have done wrong to even me, your blessed son, Lord, I pray that you would have mercy on them. Wow. Think about the heart of Jonah, and then you begin to look at the heart of Jesus. Then the question becomes, whose heart do you want to represent? Do you want to represent Jonah's heart, hardened, angry at God, for God being merciful and gracious? Or do you want to represent the heart of Jesus, the heart that is merciful, that is forgiving, not forgetful, because it was wrong what they did? And oftentimes, I think that becomes the misconception that somehow God, wait a minute, how can you be merciful and gracious to someone that has done wrong? I'm not saying what they did was wrong, not wrong. It was wrong. But what if God chooses to show mercy to them? And then, are you still going to be angry? Are you still going to be angry? And I don't just say this to you. I don't just say this to you. I say this to my own self. Many situations in my life that I really have to begin to think about this question, because Jonah doesn't answer the question. I don't know if you noticed that. There's no response to the question, because I believe that becomes up to us. How are we going to answer this question? Shall I not be concerned with those who do not even know what they did? Oh, all the wrong, the pain that they've caused, shall I not be concerned? That's tough. That's hard. So you're telling me the one who abused, neglected, abandoned, mistreated, spit, cursed, lied, rejected, continue to go on and on, I'm supposed to forgive them? I'm supposed to show mercy to them? Lord, create in me. Help me, because I don't know what to do. I don't know how you did it, but I believe that the Lord empowered us. He gave us his very spirit that we might be empowered to be able to have a transformed heart just like his son. I believe that. I believe there's possibilities for even people to have a changed heart. There's a possibility for Jonah's heart to even be changed. And I believe there's a possibility for even our hearts to be changed. Because the cross, yes, it's a cross for forgiveness, but it's the cross that actually showed us that there's possibility of change. That God is really still desiring to uproot, to pull those things in our life, to eradicate those things in our life that is keeping us from following him wholeheartedly, from loving the other wholeheartedly. And so I pray as you come this morning, Sister Charlene, Ms. Vonda, band, as you come and play what the Lord puts on your heart, I pray that you would come with the heart of realizing, just as God sent his son to show us, show forth his grace and his mercy in our life, that I invite you to come and say, Lord, I desire to have that same transformation even in my own life. I desire to have the heart of your son, the heart that is merciful and gracious and loving. And so if that is your desire to come and be transformed and changed and renewed, I pray that you will come and receive the body and the blood